You know that specific kind of frustration when you're looking at a dashboard and everything is green? The metrics say you're crushing it. The protocol was followed, all the boxes are checked. But in your gut, you just know the reality on the ground is it's falling apart.
It's that dissonance, isn't it? The map says you're on a highway, but you look out the window and you're in a ditch.
Exactly.
And if you work in healthcare, that feeling is becoming the definition of the job.
That is exactly where we're going today. We are unpacking a white paper by Dr. Bechara Saheeli called From Repair Medicine to Life Coherent Medicine.
Right.
And I want to be clear up front, this isn't just another article complaining about, paperwork or staffing.
No, not at all. This is much deeper. It's a philosophical dismantling of the entire, well, the operating system of modern
The
medicine.
operating system.
The author's whole premise is that medicine is telling itself a set of lies, foundational myths that are actively breaking the people inside the system.
Lies we live within. That's a phrase from the paper that really jumped out at me.
It is a strong phrase, but he's not talking about people being dishonest on purpose. It's more about the system running on a logic that just isn't true anymore.
So our mission for this deep dive is to understand why the author says we're not just in a crisis, but a rupture.
And then to explore his proposed solution, this idea of life-coherent medicine.
Okay, let's start right there with that word rupture. We hear crisis all the time. The nursing crisis, the budget crisis. Why does he insist that crisis is the wrong word?
It's a really crucial distinction. A crisis, think of it like a storm. It's an acute event.
It's intense.
Very intense. You work harder, you endure it, but the assumption is that the underlying structure is sound. The storm passes and you go back to normal.
Right, you push through it.
But a rupture is structural. The foundation is cracked. The logic of the system no longer matches reality.
And what's the implication of that?
Here's the terrifying part about a rupture. Working harder doesn't fix it.
That feels counterintuitive. The whole narrative is lean in, push harder.
But if a pipe has a structural rupture, what happens when you increase the pressure?
It explodes.
Exactly. The author argues that because medicine is in a rupture, applying more effort to the same broken system is actually accelerating the breakdown.
We're running faster and faster into a wall.
Precisely.
So, if we're in a rupture, what broke? What's this old story that doesn't fit anymore?
The old story is basically the mid-20th century model. It was designed for a world where illness was episodic.
You get an infection, you break a leg.
Right. It was a repair shop. You come in broken, we fix the part, you leave fixed.
Which makes sense. That's how we still think of hospitals. They're body mechanics.
And for a broken leg, that model works fine. But the new reality is that we're in an era of chronic disease, of multimorbidity.
Meaning patients don't just have one thing wrong.
No, they have diabetes and depression and heart failure and arthritis all at once. And on top of that, you have the social drivers: loneliness, poverty, bad housing.
So we're asking clinicians to solve these tangled, lifelong problems with tools from a 1950s repair shop.
It's like trying to cultivate a garden with only a wrench. You can work incredibly hard with that wrench.
But you're not going to grow any tomatoes.
Not a single one. And that mismatch is what creates that feeling you mentioned at the start. I'm working so hard, but it's not working.
Okay, this brings us to the core of the paper, part one, the lies we live within. Lie number one is a big one. Healthcare produces health.
This is maybe the most expensive lie we tell ourselves. We build more hospitals, we prescribe more drugs, thinking that will create a healthier
But
population.
wait, let me push back on that for a second. If I have pneumonia and go to a hospital, they give me medicine and I get better. They produced health, didn't they?
They repaired a break. They restored function. But health, the actual capacity to live a flourishing life that's produced by things like housing, nutrition, clean air, social connection,
I see the distinction.
the repair system can't manufacture those things. So the trap is we end up using clinicians to patch up failures in social policy.
So if a patient with severe asthma keeps coming back because they live in a moldy apartment.
The doctor gives them an inhaler, the repair, over and over, but the doctor can't fix the housing system. So the doctor feels like a failure, and the system is just spinning its wheels.
That's a setup for failure. Okay, lie number two. This one feels tricky. Evidence-based medicine is value neutral.
Right. We love to say, follow the science.
But the author is saying the science itself is biased.
Not that the science is bad. He says we've fallen into an evidence trap. We only gather evidence for things that are easy to measure.
So a new drug.
A new drug is perfect. You can run a randomized controlled trial. You measure blood pressure. You get clean data.
But you can't really do that for something like trust or listening.
Exactly. So what happens is the absence of evidence for things like empathy gets treated as evidence of absence. We assume they don't matter because we haven't measured them in that specific way.
Which leads right into lie number three. Time is inefficiency. I think everyone feels this one. The pressure to just get to the point.
And in a factory, speed is efficiency. But the paper argues that in medicine, time is a clinical input. It's a tool, just like a scalpel.
How so?
Because rushing creates what the paper calls downstream mess. You rush the history taking to save 5 minutes now.
And you miss the one key detail.
Right, the detail that would have solved it. So you save 5 minutes today, but you generate 3 unnecessary tests and a hospital readmission next week.
It's a classic case of being penny wise and pound foolish.
On a massive scale. We're optimizing for speed, not for resolution.
And this all seems to connect to lie number four. Technology will fix fragmentation. The tech savior complex.
Oh, yes. The belief that if we just get the right AI or the right app, it'll stitch this broken system back together.
I mean, we hear that constantly. Digital health will revolutionize care.
But the paper's reality check here is brutal. Adding technology to an incoherent system just speeds up the incoherence.
It helps you fall into the cracks faster.
Exactly. Look at the electronic medical record. It was promised to make care seamless.
And instead?
Instead, it's largely turned clinicians into highly paid data entry clerks. The screen demands to be fed. It pulls your attention away from the actual human in the room.
You end up treating the computer.
You do. And this sets up what, for me, is the most powerful concept in the entire paper. It's called objective falsity.
I hadn't heard that term before, but it clicked immediately. Can you break it down?
Objective falsity is when a system is succeeding by its own internal metrics. The dashboards are green, the targets are met. But in reality, the actual conditions of care are getting worse.
So the metric says success, but the reality says failure.
Perfect example. A hospital dashboard tracks length of stay. The goal is to get patients out faster.
Free up beds.
Right. The dashboard goes, green target met. Success. But the reality is the patient was discharged too early. They were confused. They didn't have support. And they end up back in the ER 3 days later.
That's terrifying. The metric is objectively true. The length of stay did go down. But what it implies, that care improved, is false.
The map says healthy, the territory says sick, which leads to the most heartbreaking question in the analysis. If the dashboard is green, but reality is red, why doesn't the system just collapse?
It has to be the people, the staff absorbing the failure.
The paper calls them the shock absorbers. The system doesn't collapse because a nurse skips lunch to fix the messed up discharge plan. Or a doctor stays 3 hours late to do the charting the efficient tech created.
Professionalism is weaponized against them. If you really cared, you'd make this broken thing work.
They're the invisible glue holding it all together. Yeah. And that leads directly to burnout.
But the author reframes burnout too. He says, basically, stop telling people to do more yoga.
Exactly. He says burnout is a misdiagnosis. It's not an individual resilience problem. You can't mindfulness your way out of a structural rupture.
You're blaming the steel for being weak when the bridge is overloaded.
He calls it a system injury. It's a warning signal, like pain, that the system is overloading human capacity. And then there's another term that's even deeper, moral injury.
I've heard that in the context of soldiers. How does it apply here?
Moral injury is the distress of knowing the right thing to do, but being structurally prevented from doing it.
It's a violation of your own conscience.
It is. You know your patient needs one more day in the hospital, but the insurance rules say they have to be discharged. You follow the rules, but you feel like you betrayed your patient and your oath.
You have the responsibility for the outcome, but not the authority to make the right choice.
Responsibility without authority. That is the exact recipe for moral injury.
Okay, this is all incredibly heavy. We've diagnosed the rupture. We've named the lies. We can't just leave it there. The paper pivots to a solution. Life-coherent medicine. What did that actually look like?
It means changing the entire organizing principle. We currently optimize for throughput, for volume. Life-coherent medicine optimizes for viability and life capacity.
Viability. That feels different than just curing.
Curing fixes a part. Viability asks a much bigger question. Does this action increase the ability of this human and this key, this clinician, to function and flourish over time?
And this clinician. That's a huge shift.
It has to be. A care plan that destroys the doctor is, by definition, not life coherent. It's unsustainable.
So how do you do that? How do you design a system that way?
One idea is what he calls first order medicine. It means designing the system so prevention is the path of least resistance, and not just nagging people to eat salad.
Right. Structural prevention.
Think about it. A doctor spends 20 minutes on the phone fighting an insurance company for a prior authorization. That's friction that drains everyone.
And delays care.
A life-coherent system would design that barrier away. It would trust the clinician's judgment. It would treat their attention as a sacred resource to be spent on the patient, not the bureaucracy.
The paper also talks about restoring trust as infrastructure.
Yes. We see trust as a soft skill and nice to have. The author says, no, trust is infrastructure. It's as critical as the electrical wiring. Without it, the whole thing collapses.
Because if a patient doesn't trust you, they won't follow the advice.
They won't take the medicine. They won't tell you the real problem. Care can't happen. And you can't build that trust in 6-minute appointments while staring at a screen.
So you need to restore trust. And to do that, you have to restore clinical judgment.
Meaning you let experts be experts again. You move away from just robotic compliance with an algorithm. Technology has to be, and this is his word, subordinated to human coherence.
Subordinated. The human is the boss. The computer is the assistant, not the other way around.
Exactly. The tool serves the judgment, not the judgment serving the tool.
So after all this, what's the big takeaway for someone listening?
I think the takeaway is that we have to stop pretending. Stop pretending the old story still works.
Acknowledge the rupture.
Yes. The paper ends with this incredible line about knowledge. It says, knowledge always wins in the end, but not unless and until it is known.
Not unless and until it is known. That feels like a call to action.
It is. The first step is to name the lies. To admit that efficiency that burns people out isn't efficient. To admit that a metric that ignores reality is false.
And that applies far beyond just medicine.
Absolutely. And that's the challenge to you, the listener. Look at your own system, your own job, your own organization. Look at your dashboard.
Where are the lights green, but the reality is red?
Where is the objective falsity in your world, and who is the shock absorber? Is it you?
Because once you see it, you can't unsee it.
And that's where the change begins.